Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about something that every one of us has done hundreds, if not thousands of times today. Something we all do from very early life to our very last breath. Some of us do it very easily, and some of us really struggle with it. It's something that has consequences. The consequences could be small and immediate, or they could be lasting and drastic. So what am I talking about? What is it we do? We make choices. Think about how many choices you've made today, from the time you got up to the time you came here. What color socks should I wear? What kind of socks should I wear? What kind of pants should I put on, or a dress? What kind of shirt, shoes? What kind of makeup do I put on today? I know that one trips up Pastor Ben. Every morning. Sorry, was I not supposed to share? No. Yeah. What are we going to eat for breakfast? What are we going to eat for lunch, for dinner? What to drink? Should I bathe today? The multitude of choices we have on how to interact with each other. Should I go to church tonight? You guys made it. Think about all the decisions you made. Maybe some big, maybe some little, maybe a lot, maybe a few. But tonight we're going to talk about a very simple choice. If chosen wisely, it'll lead to great things in the kingdom of God. If chosen poorly, it can lead to disaster. It's a choice that is continually repeated in this book and has to be considered one of its foundational themes. So what is this choice? What's the choice that rises above and radiates to our entire life? Well, this is it. Are we going to put our trust and our hope in ourselves? Or are we going to put our hope and our trust in God? Are we going to put our hope and our trust in ourselves and our abilities? Or are we going to put our hope and our trust in God? It seems like a very easy, simple, with a perfectly good Sunday school answer. God, right, Isaac? How can such a simple question be so challenging and difficult to live out? What gets in the way of all of us just saying, okay, God, tonight I'm going to say right here and now, my life is nothing about me, nothing in my life is about me, and everything in my life is about you. Wouldn't that be nice just to say that and have it be? What gets in the way? Why can't we say that?
Traffic.
Road rage. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Our sin, our sinful nature gets in the way. If we didn't have our sin, it would be a lot easier, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be easier to make that choice? To turn everything in our life and surrender it all to the Lord instead of living for ourselves in any small way. But we are us, right? We have sin. And God repeatedly puts that choice before us. He knows we need to hear it all the time. Deuteronomy 11, he says, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey my words, a curse if you don't. Deuteronomy 28, he says, if you follow my words, the blessings will come upon you and overtake you. If you do not obey my words, the curses will come upon you and overtake you. Deuteronomy 30, he says, I set you before you today life and peace or death and evil. He makes it over here. Here's life without me. Here's life with me. Repeatedly, he says, here's life without me. Here's life with me. It's pretty easy to know what God's trying to tell us here. Not so easy to always live out. Jesus said, Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If anybody remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's a choice. If we abide and remain in the Lord, we'll bear much fruit. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But here's the problem. We think we're doing something. We can think we're doing something great. We can think we're doing something great for the Lord. Or we may just be in outright rebellion. Well, fortunately, God knows there are people like me that don't always respond to subtle hints. Just ask my wife. I like it when God just lays things out. Here it is. If, then. I love those verses. I love when he shows two extreme pictures of something, like through the Proverbs. I love when God makes it very clear. And we have a great example of this in Jeremiah 17. So if you would, if you're able, please stand for the reading of the word. We're going to start with verse 5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. We'll read three verses. It's just three verses. Well, 5 to 8, I guess that's 4. Okay. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. You can be seated. So here we have a contrast. In just a few verses, the Lord lays it out very clearly for us. Let's look at the first part of that. Let's look at the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert. Who wants to be a shrub in the desert? In our Christian walk or in any area of our life. So cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. How many ways can we make flesh our strength that causes our heart to depart from the Lord? How can we really think like we're doing something and depending on ourselves? If we're honest, we could really be on this one all night, really, if we're honest. You know, physical strength. I know guys that are strong. You know, I spent years ago, I actually was in Thorbecks occasionally and spent some time in the weight room. And I don't know too many of those guys that were super strong and that were very humble about it. I think Ben Shillman's about the only one, one of the few, that was a really serious weightlifter and was humble about it. How about if we have plenty of money or we put our hope in money? Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, don't put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Put your hope in God. But we can worry about money and we can put our hope in money. We can put our hope in our 401k and our Social Security. How about athletic or musical talent? You know, we have enough of these things, and we could eventually say, you know what, I don't need God. I'm getting enough adoration right here. I'm just fine. Who needs God? I'm doing great. I've got enough money. How about lots of education or intellectual ability? Can those things turn our hearts towards ourselves if we think we know something? 1 Corinthians 8 said, the man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. When we think we know something, a lot of times we really don't in God's eyes. But we can really get prideful in the things we know, including scriptural. We can get scriptural pride. I know Pastor Ben's talked to me about seminary graduates, and sometimes they can be about the most prideful, self-righteous people you know. And, you know, we can all do that. We can think we know a lot about this and get very prideful about it and start to turn the attention on ourselves. Academic achievement. public adoration. We can go on and on. And the Lord knows you. There might be, I don't know how many people are in here, but there might be that one thing that Satan is using to draw you to yourself and away from God that we're not even mentioning here. I think we all have something. I know I have way too many. And you know, it's something that can take control of our thoughts and actions when we think things are going great. When we're getting kudos from people, when our stocks are going up, you know, and when we're having all these successes, and we only turn to God when things fail. We can depend on ourselves so easily. And God warns us it can really be intoxicating. And it can be a day-by-day or minute-by-minute decision for all of us. I know it is for me. Somebody told me a long time ago something really good. He said, you know, one of the greatest tests, if not the greatest test of your faith, is going to be in successes. When you have some success in your career or in the public's opinion of you, or in financial success, or musical success, or whatever it is, that can be the biggest test of our faith at times. And it's true, isn't it? Amen? The world tells us, and this is the very things the world tells us to celebrate, those are all things the world tells us to celebrate. The success of self. Those very things that build us up in the world, God tells us to lay down. The world tells us to use our gifting and abilities to magnify and exalt ourselves, right? And to build a life around that motivation. The world tells us to be motivated and celebrate being self-focused, self-satisfied, self-righteous, and above all, self-sufficient. Self-sufficient. I love what Paul Tripp says. Paul Tripp says, it's the kingdom of me, the kingdom of self. We build this kingdom of self. And sometimes it's really subtle. Sometimes it's very dramatic. But we build a kingdom that's in opposition of God. We may not even realize it. It's all about me. If you want to be humble, just read some of his posts about that. Paul Tripp, it's really good. Now, what does the Lord say about all this self-focused effort and self-focused attention, putting our trust and hope in ourselves and our own abilities? It may look good for a while, but eventually, the Word says, thus says the Lord, we'll become like a shrub in the desert. Now, what does a shrub in the desert look like? You think about a shrub in the desert. It's alone, it's dry, it's dusty, it's always in the heat, it's desolate, prickly, and doesn't bear any fruit. How many of you guys have felt that way in your Christian walk at one time or another? Prickly, desolate, alone, no fruit. You know, it's interesting too, you take it a step further, and if a shrub in the desert dries up enough, what does it become? A tumbleweed. Blown and tossed by the wind across the desert. How many of you felt like tumbleweeds in your life before? Have you ever driven down a desert highway and you see next to like a bridge all these tumbleweeds that have piled up, are just dry and there's a pile of them? You know, and I wonder if the Lord thinks of us, you know, we look that way sometimes. It's like, you know, I'm offering you something else, but you're just a pile of tumbleweeds on the bank of this bridge. I have so much more for you. It doesn't have to be this way. Okay, so we don't want to be a shrub in the desert. Let's read the other extreme example of this choice of where to put our hope and trust. Verse 7. Blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease from yielding fruit. Who thinks that sounds good? Who wants that, more of that in their life? A tree planted by the waters. We heard that before, right? Psalm 1. And it's true. You know, we have by our house, we have these trails that go through the woods. And it was about, 3 years ago, we had that extreme drought. We couldn't light fireworks the 4th of July, and it didn't rain forever. And the trees were really getting stressed. I mean, I know some tree farmers actually lost trees to drought, which hardly ever happens here. But they lost trees because the trees were so dry and fragile. But we walk on these trails we have that are across the street from our house, and down at the bottom there's a pond, and there's a tree right by that pond. There's a few, but there's one I remember, and it's got a great big old root that goes right down into the pond, and it spreads its roots, and that tree looked great. That tree looked amazing in that drought. It wasn't worried at all about the weather, or that it hadn't rained in 3 months or whatever. I'm like, God, I want that. I want that. I want to be like that tree. And the Lord's saying here, we have a choice. We can choose to trust in ourselves and be a prickly shrub alone in the desert, or we can put our trust and hope in Him and be a fruit-bearing, life-giving tree with an everlasting supply of water. But what this means is we have to give up. We have to surrender. We have to take the focus off ourselves. I was had a really blessed conversation with a young guy this last week at church. And it reminds me so much of me, of what was said. He's got some kids and life's getting busy. And I remember myself being in the same place, and I still do. And he said, I feel like God is deconstructing my life. And that blessed me so much, because isn't that something we all need? To allow God to deconstruct our lives and our places, our high points, our pride. And in Jeremiah 9, God reminds us of this. Just a few chapters earlier. And Jeremiah rocks. I love Jeremiah. What a guy. For 40 years, he was God's spokesman to Judah. Didn't have a single convert, I don't think. Went through 5 kings. Saw his nation get swept away. But God spoke to Jeremiah some amazing words. In Jeremiah 9, God says this. And we've made this a family verse. It says, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in all the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord." Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. It's okay to have wisdom, but don't glory in it. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. It's okay to have strength. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. It's okay to have finances. But don't glory in it. Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. You know, God's just saying, you know, you're not all that. You're not all you think you are. Maybe we all need some breaking down for the Lord to allow us to build us up. What a beautiful stretch of scripture. I love this. It's just a sweet reminder to put our hope and trust in the Lord. And what a beautiful it is to see in people. What a great testimony it is. What a great testimony it is to see fruit in the lives of others who are going through adversity. What a great thing it was this week to see the Witt family celebrating and trusting in the Lord through their last few difficult moments and beautiful moments with Arlene. What a woman of faith she was. What an inspiration she was in our walks, in our lives. If you didn't know Arlene, you missed out. She was wonderful. Talk to Roy, he'll tell you. You know, I'm a pharmacist, And I often see people at their worst. I think I mentioned this last week. They've already been sick. They've gone to the doctor's office and waited. They've paid their copay that they didn't want to pay. They come to the pharmacy. They're waiting to pay for medicine they don't want to pay for, you know. And maybe they're sick, maybe their kids are sick, and their lives are really stressed. So I see people a lot of time that are really at their worst, sometimes crabby. And I tell you what, our society is absolutely full of people that are shrubs in the desert, that are desperately looking and not finding trust and hope in the Lord. But when our society and when our world sees it, when they see it, the fruit really stands out and is illuminated. I can remember this is about 30 years ago, and there's a sweet lady named Ethel Fast. Some of you knew Ethel. Her husband was a pastor, and her two sons are pastors. BJ knows Ethel. And Ethel was a sweet woman who for years had a lot of infirmities. I mean, she had every reason in the world to just moan and groan about everything. She couldn't hardly walk at times. She ached. She had very debilitating conditions, you know, but her hope and trust was in the Lord. And I'll never forget the last time I saw her in the pharmacy. She came in, and it took her probably 10 minutes to get from the front door back to the pharmacy. I mean, she was barely moving. And she got back there, and I just walked up to the counter, and I said, "Ethel, God bless you. How are you doing today? How are you feeling? What can I do for you today?" And she goes, "Oh, John, I'm fine. I want to know how your family is. How's your wife? How's everything in your life? How are you doing?" And it's been 30 years, and I still remember that. That in her hour of pain and her time of, and I think she only lived a few months after that, she could have easily been a shrub in the desert. But you know what? Her hope and her trust are in the Lord. She was bearing fruit in the season of drought. Her leaf was not going dry. Her leaves were not prickly. And I get emotional when I think about it, because I wish I had one-tenth of that much faith. I see it in my wife all the time. My wife puts her hope and trust in the Lord, and I wish I was more like that lots of times. She is walking with the Lord from the time she gets up to the time she goes to bed. People notice the Ethel Fast. People notice. It's a great testimony. It's a great thing. It's a win-win. We get the blessing, and the world and the kingdom of God gets the blessing. But if we don't, if we put the trust in ourselves, and you know what? We all have our areas, right? We all have our areas of pride. Think about your strengths. What are your strengths? Is that your greatest weakness? I was a real planner, and I still am. When I got out of college, I knew exactly what I was going to do for a living. I knew where I was going to live. I knew how many kids I wanted. I knew how many states I wanted to see. I had everything planned out. I think I had like 40 things I was going to accomplish before I was like 40. And one by one, the Lord deconstructed those silly plans, often through weeping and gnashing of teeth. How many times do we put our expectations and our desires above what the Lord has for us? So I know, I mean, it's we all can be drawn to ourselves so easily. But we need the Lord, we need to put our hope and trust in the Lord. So the challenge here is really to do a Psalm 139 examination of us. We love Psalm 139. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxieties. See if there is any wicked way within me." We need to ask the Lord, what areas in our life do we need to lay down? Do we need to deconstruct? Do we need to yield to Him? What areas of our lives are we hanging on to that we're stubborn, not trusting God? Are we a prickly shrub or a fruitful tree? I'm right with you guys. I've got so much work that the Lord needs to do with me. You know, I can be that prickly shrub so easily in a moment. Think about those areas that maybe it's a struggle for us, and ask the Lord, have I truly surrendered this? Maybe we thought we laid it down. Maybe we thought we took care of it, but maybe the Lord's saying, you're just getting started. There is so much more that needs to be laid down. There is so much more if you will just lay this down and trust me and put your hope in me that I want to do in your life, but you're fighting me. You're hanging on to it. Have I truly said, my hope and trust is in you, Lord, or is it still with me? Is he just waiting for us? Is he waiting for you to do something great? Here's the good news. The good news is his spirit is with us. He will help us. He will convict us. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. In James, he says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. If we'll just lay those things down that are causing us to be prickly shrubs in the desert, maybe he's just waiting to take those things from us. We just need to trust him. Amen? That's all I've got. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for being patient with us, for your sweet conviction, and for your word that just convicts us and encourages us. And let us just have that sweet surrender. I love what Fanny Crosby says, and Lord, you gave those words to her, perfect submission, perfect delight. May we just experience that more in our lives. Help us to lay down those things in our life that are causing us to not be a blessing to others, to be prickly. Help us to be that fruitful tree that you want us to be. We pray these things in your name. Amen.